Come on, God is good. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever. We've been talking a few weeks about the blood. And we're not going to stop. We're going to continue. But this morning I want to talk to you about an aspect of the blood. And what the blood has produced in us. But first of all, I'd like you to go to Luke chapter 22. And we're just going to read one verse out of there, one you're very, very familiar with. But listen to what this says in Luke chapter 22, verse 20. It says, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. This is the new covenant, which is shed in my blood. See, what he's talking about here is a blood covenant. And I want to talk to you for a few weeks, maybe 2-3 weeks, about what a blood covenant means. Because in our society, we don't understand what a blood covenant is, although there are many avenues in our country, even today in our society, where this is initiated and it's absolutely produced. But the blood covenant is as old as Adam and Eve, because the first blood covenant, it was symbolized when God killed the animals and made them a coat, but he was ratifying everything that he just said. This is the covenant. And what's interesting is that ancient civilizations all over the globe and primitive civilizations know what a blood covenant is. In fact, it was not strange to them when he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. In other words, this covenant, this promise, it's more than a contract. I guess that's a term that we might, but it doesn't do it justice. Because especially in our society, a contract is just as good as the lawyer that you have. Right? I signed that contract, but you know. But a blood covenant is much more than that. A blood covenant is one is once we make this, your life is different and my life is different from now on. A blood covenant is, wait a minute. And when he says, do this in remembrance of me, he's saying, remember the covenant. Remember what was struck here, what I did here, what was involved here. But all over the world, blood covenants are made. And there's many different forms and different fashions. And the one that I remember the most growing up is just because I watched a lot of Westerns. And I was thinking about this today. I was thinking about on the way in. I was going, well, you know, I can speak to a few people in the room because we grew up on Westerns, right? But not so much everybody anymore. But one of the things that was spoken about, especially between the Native Americans and the whites, there was a point where it says, you're now my blood brother. You're now my... That what he was speaking of is blood covenant. And what happens there is... And I'm thinking of this movie, and I think it was John Wayne, but they cut their hands right here to where blood flowed. And the other one cut his hand, and then they shook hands. And once those blood were mingled, you're not the same as you were before. I'm not the same as I was before. We are forever blood brothers, right? So when Jesus said, this is the new covenant shed in my blood, and when we receive that by faith, as it talks about in Romans chapter 3, it's like, wait a minute, that's the blood covenant. You don't fully understand this. I don't think any of us do, but we're getting more and more revelation from the Lord about what that means when you became born again. Because it's different. His blood, by faith, came into me when I entered into the blood covenant that wasn't struck between me and him. It was struck between the Son and the Father. But we enter underneath the Son by faith that He was the Christ. Blood covenant. Let me just describe a few things and we'll look. The blood covenant was seen in the story of Adam and Eve. Every primitive people group have a version of the blood covenant. Here's reasons for the blood covenant. Listen to this. It's for the stronger to protect the weaker tribe. Listen to that again. It's the stronger protecting the weaker. In other words, if, and I'll give you an example of this, but if I'm in blood covenant with you and, you know, you hold some power and people know that I'm in blood covenant with you, that means that if you mess with me, you're messing with him. Let me tell you this story. I think it was Livingston and Stanley and all those. But Livingston was in Africa, and they learned that to get into African tribes and to survive, they cut blood covenant with the leaders of the African tribe. But one of the first times that happened, he was not feeling that well. He came with this big tribal chief, and the tribal chief sent out a representative. Let's enter into a blood covenant. And he was going, huh? Well, in the blood covenant, there's a gift exchange. You give me something, I give you something, you know. And so Livingston had a goat. The chief wanted the goat. But Livingston was going, that's where I get my food. That's where I get my milk. We milk that goat every day. Why does he want my goat? That's what he wants. He wants your goat. Well, what do I get in return? You get his stick. Well, I'm giving a goat. He's giving me a stick. Yeah. Yeah. So in the process of doing it, what happened, and this happened often, is where the chief would send a representative to represent him in the blood covenant, and Livingston, one of his guides, came, and they're the actual ones that exchanged in proxy for the chief and for Livingston. But it was valid to the chief and to Livingston. So they went through this blood covenant, and I'm sure Livingston's going, great. I got a stick. But everywhere he walked from then on in Africa, he walked with that stick. And when there was a hostile tribe that was coming out against him and saying, look, let me get that white boy, right? Let me get, they'd see the stick and they go, oh no. Oh no. Oh no, 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 no. Because we know who stick that is. We know the power that's represented in that stick. I'm giving you a new covenant in my blood. In other words, right, when the devil sees us after we've been born again, he sees us through the cross. And so when he's coming against us, and he might puff up like a big puffer fish and get loud and proud, but all you have to do is to tell him to get in Jesus' name, because you're no longer under your ability, but you're standing in his ability, because you have a new covenant that's been purchased in his blood. So the first thing was protection. A stronger would help a weaker. Another area that they did it for was business deals. Okay, we're going to come into a contract, but we're going to sign this contract in blood. What did that mean? Well, again, like I said today, and we've gone a long ways away from this, but if we entered into a contract and we seal it with blood, that means it's an everlasting covenant. It doesn't just go to my generation. It goes to my kids and my grandkids and their grandkids, on and on, because it was sealed in blood. Amen. That means it's unbreakable, it's irrevocable, it cannot be stopped. What does that mean? And this, many tribes had this particular thing sewn into the blood. If Zach and I here came into a blood covenant, and in that society I broke the blood covenant, my kids would come to kill me because I dishonored the name in the blood covenant. I mean, it's that strong. Today we have a contract. Did you know that it's probably been 100 years ago, maybe you know, earlier than that. But I can remember my dad and my grandfather. It was kind of like this was, well, you know, I'm giving you my word. We don't need a contract. We don't need to write. I'm giving you my word. And my word is my bond. In other words, if I give you my word, I will fulfill it no matter what. And there was honor to that. Today it's like, I'm giving you my word. What does that mean? Nothing. It just means what, you know, a good lawyer can get me out of. But as Christians, right, as believers, we've got to start taking covenant seriously. If we're going to take him as a man of his word, we better start being people of our word. Jesus said it this way, man, when you answer somebody, let your yes be yes and your no be no, but don't go back on your yes or no. How many times have we been in situations where, yeah, I'll help you out, and then something else comes up? Oh, I'd like to, but you know, this is happening. No, once you said, I will help you out, our integrity must come in line with that and say, well, yep, something else came up, but I've already given you my word, so I'll be there. Why? Why is that important? Because if we can't keep our word, there's no way that we can believe God will keep his word. But we're under a blood covenant. And again, the blood covenant was between the Father and the Son, and we enter it by faith through Jesus. Which is cool. Because a blood covenant is just is strong or weak depending on who's in the covenant. But this covenant that Jesus struck with us is by God the Father and God the Son. So all the strength, all the power, everything that we need is contained in that. And oftentimes a blood covenant was struck if people were in a relationship that had a strong bond. I'll just give you an example. Jonathan and David. Jonathan was Saul's son. But when they got together, they clicked and they were together. And they came under a blood covenant. What did that mean? That Jonathan protected David against his father. Because the blood covenant was stronger than the blood of heredity. What I'm telling you is that the blood covenant between people, when I entered a relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ, I came under that new covenant of his blood, and that is stronger in me and to me than any relationship that I have here on earth. And I've often said this, I have a huge family, and I'm so proud of my family, and I love every one of my family. And maybe some of you have witnessed this yourself. But the more that I'm in Christ and the more I'm in the body of Christ, there's times where I feel like the family of Christ is closer to me than even some of my blood relatives. Yeah. Right? Why? Because we're in the same family. Yeah. We have the same DNA. We're under the same covenant. And again, just for purpose sake, the methods of cutting the covenant is that two people mingle their blood, and different cultures have different ways. Sometimes, watch this, sometimes what they did is they'd cut their wrist or cut their, you know, where they get a little blood, and they'd hold it over a glass of wine. And both of them in the same glass of wine, they'd let that blood go into the wine, mix it up, and drink it. This is the cup of my blood, right? This is the cup of the covenant of my blood that's given for you. That's where humanity and divinity's blood came together, and that covenant was formed for you and for me. See, that communion cup is much more than, well, let's get this over with. It's the fourth Sunday of the, you know, whatever. No. I'm remembering the covenant that was struck on my behalf. And that covenant is everlasting. That covenant cannot be broken. I am forever changed by the mingling of that blood. And again, sometimes it was the wrist. Sometimes it was proxy. You'd send somebody else. But it was always the mingling of the blood. And then came the conditions of the covenant. In other words, there was always a contractor, a list made up. And the interesting aspect of that was, is that there were curses and blessings. In other words, if you keep the covenant, this is what you, the benefits. But if you break the covenant, this is what's going to happen to you. And again, like I said, we won't have to send our tribe because you're under covenant. Your own tribe will come and get you because that's how strong it was in the cultures, right? Blessings and cursings. In Deuteronomy in chapter 28, it says, all of these blessings shall keep you if you follow after the Lord and keep His word. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the country. Your womb will be blessed. So many different things. And there's all kinds of blessings. But then if you read the full chapter of Deuteronomy 28, but if you choose not to, you're in trouble, Jack. Right? All of these things are going to come on you. And you watch that throughout the history of Israel. It's like if they kept the covenant, I mean, God blessed them and nobody could defeat them and they were just awesome. But the minute they turned to idols or turned away from God, the clock started. And it didn't always happen, you know, we messed up on Monday, Tuesday we get it. Sometimes it was years because God was giving them an avenue to repent and to turn back.
Right.
But the cursings and the blessings. But here's the good news. There's a verse in Galatians says that Jesus became a curse for us.
Amen.
That the blessing of Abraham might come up. What does that mean? In the new covenant, Jesus bore the curses that we deserved because of our disobedience. In this blood covenant, the curses no longer remain. And sometimes people will read the Old Testament and put them into the New Testament and take on the curses of the Old Testament, right? I'll just give you an example. In Malachi chapter 3, it's talking about the tithe. Do I believe the tithe is for today? I absolutely do. And I would not stop tithing if you gave me $1 million. Because of the blessings that I've seen over and over that God does. But I don't believe that there's a curse if I don't tithe. Because Jesus paid it. Here's what I'm saying. Under the new covenant, Jesus took the curse. I get the blessing. That doesn't mean that you can live your life any way you want to and not suffer the ramifications of your sin. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is I'm not looking up every day going, am I cursed or am I blessed? Am I cursed or am I blessed? Jesus took the curse so that I can walk under the blessing. So there was curses and blessings. Cursing and blessing. And then oftentimes, and this is kind of cool, oftentimes what they would do is they'd set up a memorial. And depending on what culture they were in, if you were in a place that, where there were a lot of trees, they'd have a tree. This tree is the memorial to the covenant that was struck between two people. So whenever the relatives walked by, oh yeah, that's George and Eddie's covenant tree. That means we have to be nice to George and Eddie because we're under covenant family-wise with George and Eddie, right? And you remember in the Old Testament throughout the history, as you've read it, it's like they'd get to a certain place and they'd set up stones as a memorial for what God did, their covenant God did to them. And oftentimes those memorials were set up in light with a name that they got a revelation of, or that God revealed himself as. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah, you know, on and on and on. There'd be a stone there when they walked through the Jordan River. It said that they stopped and they picked up stones out of the river and they brought them out with the 12 tribes and they put up this memorial. Why? Because we got into this land because of the covenant that we have with God that was struck through Moses. And every time we walk by there, every time we see that, we remember the covenant. Right. Right. There are a lot of folks that have chains with a cross on it, right? And that's awesome. I don't think you necessarily have to have that. But that cross, and every time you see a cross, should be a memorial to you of what Jesus did when he died for you. Because that covenant, one of the symbols of that covenant was that he was on a tree. Yeah. In Galatians, again, it says, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree.
Thank you, Jesus.
But Jesus took my curse.
Yes. Thank you.
So that I can walk in his blessing.
Woo.
Amen. The covenant has been struck. The covenant has been struck. And again, if God comes in covenant with you, just think about this. And I want you to begin to get a picture of this. How many feel weak in yourself? How many have ever felt inadequate in yourself? How many feel like there's no way that I could get the job done in yourself? Right? There's no way that I can pray good enough. There's no way that I can fast good enough. There's no way that I can be in faith good enough by myself. Well, I have good news for you. The covenant that was struck between God the Father and Jesus that you entered into, you are no longer in and by yourself. Throughout the New Testament, there's terms, and it'd be good if you got a highlighter and started just highlighting them. In Christ, by whom, right? Through whom. All of those are covenant terms that relate to the blessings that apply to you because of the covenant that they struck together.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Well, what does that mean? By the blood of Jesus, I've been redeemed. I'm accepted in him. Right? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can't do all things by myself. But because When I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I put my hand in His hand, and there was a mingling of the blood. It's no longer just me trying to get the job done. Yeah. It's us together because we're in covenant. Yeah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Watch this, another one. Jesus was talking and He said, all things are possible to those who believe. All things? All things. All things. All things are possible. You can get rid of your sense of inferiority when you begin to realize the superiority of the washing of the blood. Let me say that again. You can get rid of your sense of inferiority when you begin to realize the superiority of the washing, cleansing power of the blood of the covenant that was struck for you. In other words, and I've used this a lot, but it bears repeating right here. The value of something is measured in what somebody is willing to pay for something.
That's right.
And I use this example. If you have an old clunker that you think is a classic and you say, I'm going to sell this old beauty. And you put it up for $20,000 because you think it's just a classic. And you wait 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Nobody's coming for your beauty. I said, well, I'll lower the payment. I'll lower the... Finally, the scrap guy comes by and says, I'll give you $400 for it to take it away as scrap. Well, the value of your beautiful classic is $400. Because that's the price somebody was willing to pay for it. God so loved the world. Now I'm just going to make a little change there. And I, in one of my Bibles somewhere, it's one I used years ago, I put in there, God so loved Bruce.
Yes, right.
Put your name in there. You're part of the world. God so loved Bruce that He gave His only begotten Son. So the price that God paid for you was the blood of Jesus. So what does that make you? Valuable in His sight. He puts a value on you. So if God says that I'm valuable, who am I to argue with Him? Again, I'm not talking about pride. I'm not saying that I'm anything in myself. I know my limitations, but I'm not by myself. I'm not in myself because I'm in covenant with the living God.
Mm-mm-mm.
Let's look at a couple instances. We're going to talk about Abraham right now. But go to Genesis chapter 15. And it's really interesting because if you go throughout the Bible, there's several covenants that were made. It's like there was the Adamic covenant, and you can see that in the first chapters. There was Noah. When Noah had the ark came out, there was a covenant made between Noah and his descendants. And Abraham, there was a covenant. Isaac, there was a covenant. Jacob, there was. David, there was a covenant. All these covenants throughout the historical line. But that stopped with Jesus. Why did that stop with Jesus? Because you are complete in Him. He did everything that was necessary to validate and to ratify a covenant that made you right with God forever and eternity. Right? It's done. And it's not my covenant with God. I don't have to get into another covenant. God, I promise you this and this and this. And if I promise you all these things, then maybe you'll give me this, this, and this. No, 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 no. I come back to the covenant that was struck between Jesus and the Father. And Lord, I'm just thanking you and praising you for everything that's done. But because I'm in covenant with you, Lord, I wouldn't want to ever violate the covenant. I want to live for you. I want your holiness to be in me and through me. Genesis chapter 15. And again, this I love the story of Abraham, and started out Abram, and you know, Abram was a pretty cool dude, but he was raised up in all kinds of idolatry and all kinds of different things. God had to get him out of that land. But in Romans chapter 4, it talks about this great man of faith, Abraham, who counted, you know, things, you know, called things to be not as though they were, and against hope, believed in hope, and he was fully persuaded, all of those things, right? But if you go back and read in Genesis, starting in chapter 12 and going through, it's like, not so much, right? What do I mean? He was so full of faith and that God was with him. On two different occasions, when they went to Egypt in a different place, he said, now listen, Sarah, tell them you're my sister. What? Well, I don't want to get killed, so tell them, great man of faith and power, right? Tell them, crazy. But, and you see through it how God, it's almost like it was a buildup and a buildup and a buildup and a buildup. So let's look at verse 1 of chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, for I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of the house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. No one born in my house is my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body will be your heir. This is God coming into covenant or a promise to a man. Then he brought them outside and looked toward the heaven. Count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. I'm God. I'm speaking this over you, and it shall come to pass. Look up. Look at all those stars. Look at this next verse. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. And then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Ur of the Chaldeans, to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I shall inherit it? He said, bring to me a three-year-old heifer and a three-year-old female goat and a three-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. What are you saying? We're going to put blood on it.
Right.
What I just promised you, we're going to put blood on it. I like this next part. And then he brought all the to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece on the opposite of one another. So here's part of the animal on this side, part of the animal on this side. And all of them were arranged. And then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle, the opposite. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. What does this mean? Abraham, this can't be between me and you totally, because you'll mess it up. So I'm going to put you asleep, and I'm going to show you just how much you need me to fulfill this. I'm going to put you asleep, and that's what happened. Now watch. It says, then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them and will afflict them for 400 years, talking about when the exile came to Egypt. And also nations whom they serve will judge afterwards, and they shall come out with great possessions. That's the liberation that Moses gave. And now you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, and the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it shall come to pass when the sun goes down, it was dark, and behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed through the pieces. And on the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river Egypt to the great river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites, the Hittites and the Perizzites, and Rephaim and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Gigasites and the Jebusites and any other site that's available, right? I've given you this covenant. But watch this. Many commentaries will say that smoking lamp, you know, the smoking oven and the burning lamp, it was the Father and the Spirit walking between the animal pieces. In other words, saying, God, this is between me, but you have my word on it, and all of heaven will back this word, because this is the blood covenant. Interesting, isn't it? So what does that have to do with us? God had to get us out of the way, because no man was righteous, no, not one, none of us. And he had to send his son. That's why, again, people will go, well, why do you make such a big deal out of the virgin birth? Because the blood's involved. Yeah. Right? The seed comes through the man, and his blood has been tainted way back toward Adam. But now the blood that was in Jesus was of the Holy Spirit and was completely pure. Right? And so the blood was a big deal. The virgin birth is a huge deal. All right, I'm going to wrap up and go to chapter 17. Watch this now. When Abram was 99 years old, let that sink in for just a minute. He was an old dude. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Lord Almighty God. I'm El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. I will make my covenant between you and me, and you will multiply you exceedingly. And then Abraham fell on his face and talked with him. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations. This is covenant language. In other words, in many customs, when you became a blood brother to somebody else, part of their name became part of your name, and part of his name became part of your name. So this is actually Abram. He was Abraham, but now he's Abraham. And the term Yahweh is in there, right? But it's also, you are now the father of many nations. So what does that mean? When you introduce yourself, as the father of many nations. When somebody calls you by name, hey, father of many nations. Yeah. What was that doing? It was just absolutely reconfirming the covenant. You see, before you were born again, you were what is lovingly referred to in the Bible as a heathen. Yeah. You heathen, you. Outside of the covenant with God. But once you became born again, you know what you're now referred as? Absolutely a child of God, but you're a Christian. What does that mean? Christ-like. What does that mean? That means that you have the potential to reflect the glory of God because you're in covenant with God. You see, I love that. I think it was at the Church of Antioch where they were first known as Christians. What does that mean? People from the outside could tell a complete difference between the heathen that they used to be or even the religious zealot that they used to be, Paul, to what he'd become now because Christ had made such a difference in his life because the covenant was confirmed not only in the blood of Jesus, but the effect of that blood on a human being. Why am I saying that? You're in blood covenant with God this morning. You're not the same as you used to be. You're not as limited as you used to be. Your prayers aren't as ineffective as they used to be. Your authority is definitely not the same that it used to be. See, when you understand your covenant, watch this. It won't matter if the devil came to you with 10,000 legions of demons. If you understand your authority and the covenant that was cut with you, all you have to stand up is say, in the name of Jesus. And you know what they have to do? They have to bow their knee to your voice because you're in covenant with the one who backs the name. I'm in blood covenant with Jesus. You see, that's why it's such a big deal that when we pray, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. That's not just a religious way that we pray. That's a declaration that I'm covenanting because I'm a covenant child of the Most High God. I come to you. And it just speaks volumes to me about I could come boldly before the throne of grace, not because of me, but because of the covenant that was struck between the Father and the Son, and my faith in who Jesus is gives me access to everything that they've written down. I'm in blood covenant. I'm infected by a blood covenant. My future is declared because of a blood covenant. Y'all get anything this morning? Come on, come on, come on. He's so good to us. He's so, so good to us. But let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word today. And I thank you for the covenant that was struck 2,000 years ago when Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice. I thank you, Lord. And right now, I know, Lord, that your covenant is stronger than I've ever made myself available to. And I ask you to forgive me. And I'm like that man that, Lord, he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me to see, Lord, what you said and help me to receive what you promised and help me to stand for this world, Lord. We're not here in Port Orchard helpless. We're not here just at the whim of all of the things that are against the Christian church, Lord. We're standing here in victory because we're surrounded by the blood and we have the Master in our hands. He's the one who's guiding us and leading us. He's the one that gives us strength. When we open our mouth, Lord, you fill it. I thank you, Lord, that we have the answer to every person's needs. And God, help us to be bold to step out and present you as a Christian who carries around the authority that's been given to them. You said for us to lay hands on the sick and they would recover. You told us to cast out demons. You told us to speak in tongues. You told us, Lord, all of these things, and we're just going to walk in it because the covenant has been struck and we are partakers and beneficiaries of the last will and testament of Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless all those that are watching online. If you're there and you need a touch from God, He's there to touch you. But he's not going to do any more than he's already done. He's done enough. His blood is enough. It's enough to save you. It's enough to heal you. It's enough to keep you. It's enough to give you peace where you have turmoil. Come to him because he loves you. If I could have the worship team come up, we're going to close with a worship song. And I just, his presence is here and he wants to touch you this morning. There's going to be people up here to pray for you. If you have a need this morning, if you just want agreement on something this morning, if you just need God to touch you this morning, come on up because he's here. The blood of Jesus is enough. I have a covenant with Almighty God. He loves me. He's for me. Amen. But let's worship him. We'll close with this.